this. It's Fan Sided Radio.
Welcome. You are about to enter the control room.
The guys from the control room have found a new home. Wait, seriously? Someone listened to that piece of show and thought it was good? What, were they stoned?
You and I both know that marijuana can do very nice things.
There must have been better options than these three clowns.
We need to evolve into dudes who score.
No? Huh. All right. Broadcasting from Tempe, Arizona.
Yeah, you knew it was going to be hot when you heard that lonesome slide guitar and that hawk's cry.
Here's Rich Gray, Brett Harmon, and Sean Crespin. I still think this is a horrible idea.
Good afternoon or evening or morning or hopefully not morning. I don't know why you'd listen to our podcast in the morning, but it's another episode of The Control Room. Rich Gray alongside Sean Crespin this week.
Hey, I'm back finally.
I feel like I'm a character in NBA Jam.
What is that? Why is that?
Because you know how in NBA Jam, it was always you had like the two
right
team members and you could always alternate,
yeah,
but you couldn't have like the three
the
together.
Third in there?
Right.
Right.
So I feel like with you here, but Brett gone. I feel like I'm in the middle of NBA.
It's a good comparison. I can see that.
Yeah.
And you always had the one guy. I mean, if you were the Suns, you had to have Barkley in there.
Right.
You know, and then you could switch out KJ and Marley. So, I mean, I guess, you know, myself and Brett are KJ and Marley, and you're Barkley. You got to be in the game.
I guess.
You can't play. Nobody ever picks Marley and KJ together.
No, you can't.
Who the hell would do that on NBA?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I guess being compared to Barkley on the court's a good thing. Maybe off the court.
Off the court just as well. Charles is a great dude.
Yeah,
great
dude. He is a good dude. Again, welcome back, Sean. Haven't had you in a while.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's weird. It's awkward.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I almost feel like I wasn't a part, you know, because I had so many weeks in a row where I had other commitments where I couldn't be here to record the podcast, and I would, you know, sometimes see you guys recording while I was in doing my normal Monday through Friday radio show, and I'd see you through the window, and I'd kind of, you know,
get sad.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell?
You feel like watching like a puppy in a window.
Yeah, a little bit. Or I'm the one stuck inside. You know, like when you were a kid, and you remember when you were sick, but you probably could have went to school,
right?
But you didn't. You played off the sick day, and everything's great until 3:30 rolls around. When you see your friends outside playing and your mom won't let you go play. I was the kid inside wanting to get outside and play with my friends, but I couldn't.
And go out and you can't.
Because that's what I
thought you were sick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. But I'm okay now, Mom. I'm all right. Yeah. Let me outside.
Exactly.
That's how I felt looking at you guys through the window. That's for sure.
So again, a lot to get into in this week's episode of The Control Room. Just to let you know, though, that we've been pumping it throughout the last couple of weeks. Fansided Radio has a new daily podcast called Fansided Tonight with John Akronin. They had a little technical issues, which we are very familiar with.
To say the least around
so
here.
So we understand.
That's a podcast in itself right there.
Exactly. So again, check out Fansided Tonight on Facebook and Twitter, the new daily podcast on fansided.com. But we'll start, since we have you here, we haven't gotten a lot into the Suns, but we know where the Suns.
Not much to get into, Rich.
Yeah.
Not much to get into this year. Third straight season in which they missed the playoffs. Third straight season in which they are a lottery team, obviously, in the NBA. And picking fifth this year.
Pick number five goes to the Phoenix Suns.
I think in every draft there are a few star players. And they don't always go according to form. You know, it's not always 1, 2, 3 in that order. You know, again, my philosophy is always to draft the best player available. You know, there are some good pieces in place here, but, you know, at the same time, we won 25 games last year, so we need to get better across the board. So I'm not targeting a certain position or a certain skill set. I'm going to try to evaluate all the guys and weigh their strengths and weaknesses. And there's some good players here. You know, I don't know if there's a franchise changer, but, you know, I'm confident we'll get somebody really good who'll be able to help the Suns next year.
That's new Suns GM Ryan McDonough speaking on the Suns, who draft fifth. They technically moved down a spot. They had the fourth best chance of winning the number one
typical
lottery. But I believe just as you focus on this draft class, I don't think if you're not picking one, I don't think it matters too much. Because outside of maybe Norland's Noel, there isn't really that big of...
Well, even he's got his question marks,
right?
You know, with the ACL.
Exactly.
You know, how's he going to bounce back from that? So you're right, though. I mean, does it really matter? One through five, I'm happy.
Yeah, McDonough said it there, too. Like, there's really not a franchise changer in this year's draft. There's some good players that could help you if you get that franchise player, and maybe that could happen down the road. But I will say, though, I really like McDonough so far from what I've interacted with him. And
He's passed the test to this point. I mean, let's let him get through a draft.
Right.
Let's see what comes through with this draft. And, you know, what he's supposedly great at is finding those diamonds in the rough, you know, what he did with the Celtics. So we'll get a chance to see that this year. The Suns picking not only 5th but 30th, so they have two first round draft picks this year, and we'll see if what he can do with that 30th pick. And can you find something, a diamond in the rough, if you will, that, you know, people have said he did so many times in Boston. But you're right now he's passed the test of, you know, the press conferences and getting through and getting himself involved and getting into the draft. And but we'll see what happens with the draft picks. I'm kind of leaning towards Victor Oladipo, just because he's a more rounded player to this point right now. I would say I see more upside with him if you're not going to get the Nerlens Noels. I feel the Suns need to go there. The problem is, how many shooting guards / small forwards can we have on this team?
Right.
And that's exactly where he would wind up playing. But I think picking 5th in this draft, I think he suits the Suns better as of right now. And that's the problem with where the Suns are at right now. You have to say, right now he suits us. But we really don't know where this franchise is going to be
right
a year or 2 years from now. The only person on this team that you can say has any staying power at all is Dragic.
Yep.
I mean, who else 3 years from now would you be shocked if they weren't on this roster? There's a lot of guys, Rich, that I would be happy if they weren't on this roster.
Yeah, that's
next
the bad
year,
thing.
That let alone
is,
in 3 years.
That's a bad thing. Michael Beasley, we are looking at your direction. Horrible, horrible sign. I think you could maybe write in pencil Jared Dudley's name. But he definitely couldn't write it down in pen.
No, he's been in trade right. talks left and right.
I mean, and he would be great on a contender.
Perfect. That's exactly where I was going to go with that. I mean, imagine him fitting in with the Heat or the Thunder, you know, or any of those teams that are on the verge. Jared Dudley, the old junkyard dog Jared Dudley, is exactly at the Spurs. God, it kills me to say that.
Yeah.
But put him on the Spurs. He is a Popovich player to a T.
Well, look at the Birdman with the Heat and how he's just revived his career.
That is a perfect example. It's a guy that's going to do the stuff that doesn't show up in the box score, the right. intangibles. He's going to be the scrappy guy. That's how Jared Dudley was able to stay in the NBA. I mean, a lot of people forget he was your role player mm-hmm. of all role players when he first came on the scene with the Suns. And much like PJ Tucker last year, the only reason he kept a roster spot is because of that hustling and the intangibles that he brought to the floor. Jared Dudley goes to a contender and becomes that guy again. That's exactly where he fits. And I see a move happening next year, if not in this offseason.
Back to the Suns, though, and you mentioned Ryan McDonough in letting a draft go through. Another step before that, though, hiring a head coach.
Yes.
That's going to be a big test for him. There's a lot of... I wouldn't really say sexy names out there. I mean, you have Jeff Hornacek, JB Bickerstaff, Kelvin Sampson.
The only reason Hornacek's really a sexy name is because of the past that he had. It's nostalgia with the yeah. Phoenix Suns. You hear Jeff Hornacek, you think, oh, the good days in the 90s. You know, but really, he's been an assistant in Utah. I mean, we really don't know what he'll bring as a head basketball coach. The only sexy name that I would see out there right now is Vinny Del Negro. And he's not even... I'm going to call that... I don't want to call it cute. You never call another man cute.
Right.
But you know what I mean? It's not a sexy pick either. It's more of just like it's a good hire. You know?
Right.
If they got Vinny, I would say that's a good hire. He's coming off a 50-game win season in L.A. I still can't believe they let the man go. First time you win your division and you're one of your best records in your franchise's history and you let a man go, that's a whole other story. I think Vinny could come in here and fit nicely with this Suns team.
See, I wouldn't hire him.
No? Why is that?
I don't think he gets the best out of his players. And I think when you have so much turnover and you're starting from scratch, you're going to need a coach like, unfortunately, saying this, an Alvin Gentry.
I knew you were going to go there.
That could get the best out of his players. I think Gentry would be a great fit with the Clippers. I don't know if he would return to there.
Gentry actually was on ESPN LA this morning and discussed that and said, yes, that is actually the most attractive job out there. And think about Gentry. Let's go. A crafty point guard.
Yep.
Chris Paul. A power forward. Fits Amari style. Very, yep. very, very similar to how Amari was. In those days, and then some wing players who could knock down a bunch of threes. I mean, that team's made for what Gentry did here in Phoenix. I think it's a perfect fit for Alvin Gentry in LA. And it's funny that you say that, because Alvin Gentry got so much out of these rosters the last 2 years with the Suns.
Unbelievable.
That you look around, and like you said, you're going to need somebody who can get the most out of not much. And who would you pick? Alvin Gentry.
The names, though, that the Suns have been rumored to express interest or have set up interviews, the only one that I think, because I'm not even sure. I mean, assistant coaches in the NBA, you don't know.
You really don't know.
You really don't know until you get the chance. And so the guy that I point to that I think I would be ecstatic that they hired, because I think there's only one, really, would be Brian Shaw. Because he was apparently the heir apparent to Phil Jackson. And if he's the
but how well have those worked out over the years?
That's true. That is true.
You want to go back to the Bulls? You want to go to L.A. when he left? Look at over there right now. Look what happened. They fired a coach 6 games into the season this year. I mean, look at the heir appearance to Phil Jackson. But you're right.
Right.
But to be tied into the Phil Jackson era, you're right.
I mean, Kobe pushed for Shaw over Mike Brown, and it didn't happen. So I would at least give it a shot. But again, the Suns, they're so far away from playoff contention right now.
Exactly. Which is why, you almost want to, right, let's be honest with ourselves and look at the teams in the West with the Oklahoma Cities, the Clippers, which we talked about. In the East, you've always got the Heat and everybody there. The Suns are so far away from contending. Why not take a shot at a J.B. Bickerstaff?
Yeah.
34 years old. He's been an assistant with a couple of teams over in Houston right now, or even a Steve Clifford, Lakers assistant coach. A young guy who you take a chance on him. I mean, what do you have to lose right now?
Not a lot.
Because right now, if you're going to, like the Suns say they're doing, build through the draft, which is crazy in the NBA, but that's what they say they're doing, take a chance. What's the worst that happens? You have another top five pick next year?
And honestly, as a media member and a fan here, I hope that happens, because next year's draft class is going to be far deeper. There's going to be it's much more top heavy, and I am already on the Andrew Wiggins Maple Jordan bandwagon.
Really? I'm
on it. I don't know if I haven't seen him play. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens to if he's going to fall in Kansas, or just as his expectations are going to keep rising. But people who cover high school and scouts and whatnot for a living keep comparing. I hear the LeBron comparisons. That's way
There's two or three guys people have said always the next
but
LeBron.
I've said that he is the most athletic player coming into college since Kevin Durant. And I will take that comparison as face value.
Because I can see that
when
one.
Durant entered, there was a lot he needed to improve on his game, and he did.
And he did it.
So if Wiggins can make that same sort of jump in college and then to the NBA, your franchise changer.
Here's another problem that I'm seeing in the NBA that we're talking. You and I are sitting here discussing this. A guy coming into college this next season, and we're already trying to draft him.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what I honestly believe, that you're starting to see this the last couple of years. Name somebody in the last two NBA drafts. I mean, Anthony Davis, last year's number one overall pick. Good player, not a superstar. We're seeing that a lot more in these drafts, that there really isn't that superstar. And I'm starting to think that I know the NBA and college basketball did the mandatory one-year rule to try and help out that fact that you're not going to have so many kids coming from high school right into the NBA. But I almost think now that there's so much of an emphasis on the 1 year, I think more people, I want to look at the numbers up and try to figure this out myself, because I think more people are coming out now after 1 year because the emphasis on the 1 year rule than there were before. And I don't think we have as many fine-tooled athletes coming out. I would love it if I know that it will never happen, but if you had something similar to the NFL and what college football has, 3 years.
3 years.
Give me 3 years. These are kids. These are 19-year-old kids coming out into the NBA. They're not even fully developed physically, let alone crafting their game.
Right.
I mean, remember the Ewings at Georgetown and the Jordans at North Carolina and all the and the Barclays at Auburn.
I mean, you can even go to like smaller guys like a Mike Bibby at the Wildcats.
Exactly.
I mean, when he was a freshman to when he got drafted, he was a completely different player.
That's my point. Yeah. I mean, and it's now we have to get to the NBA right now. And the 1 year rule I think almost backfired. I mean, it's still too soon to tell. It's only been a couple of years, but I mean, I miss the of seeing these guys go through their college career, even if it's 3 years. Hell, even if it's two for a lot of them. But you get to know who they are. You see them develop, and they come into the game. They come into the NBA a more finely tooled player. I really think that we're starting to see the effects of that in these last couple of NBA drafts. I mean, there's been nobody that is a game changer in a long time.
I would like to see, at a kind of last point on the Suns and this topic, I would kind of like to see what baseball does, is where if you're at 18 and you want to enter the draft and you want to sign a contract and whatever, you go. But if you don't, you got to wait 3 years. So give players the option. If you think you're good enough and you're going to get drafted and you don't need to go to college, then fine, go ahead. But if you don't, you got to wait 3 years.
I'm telling you, the worst thing that happened to the NBA is the success of Kobe Bryant, the success of LeBron James,
Kevin Garnett. Yep.
I mean,
Amari.
Those are exceptions to the rule. Those are exceptions to the rule.
Right.
And people, they didn't understand that, and all of these kids want to come out from high school, and those players right there, I believe, because that's when the big swing happened. It was after the Kobes, and especially after the LeBron, because they're putting us friggin' high school games on TV.
Yep.
That's when it really got bad, and that I think that's the worst thing that happened to the game of basketball and the league, the association of the NBA, is those players' success, because now everybody thinks they can do it at 18 and 19, and you just can't.
Because there's more players like Sebastian Telfair,
thank you,
than there are LeBron James.
Thank you, and that's what they are, the exception to the rule. They're not the rule. It needs to be more than 1 year, and they need to develop.
Other headlines throughout the Valley. Again, this is the Control Room here in Tempe, Arizona. Rich Gray alongside Sean Crespin. I almost said Brett Harmon there.
Just that's what you're used to.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, creatures of habit.
Don Maloney signs a contract with the Phoenix Coyotes. Long year deal to be the general manager of the Coyotes, and that's a good sign for the Coyotes, because again, we're not going to go down the ownership road, because how many times?
I was just going to say, should we say the Phoenix Coyotes, or should we say he was signed a long term extension to the Coyotes?
Yeah, I mean, it appears they have some suitors, and maybe they'll get sold eventually. But again, we could be saying the same thing from 2-3 years ago.
Right.
And you would never know the difference.
Right. No.
So, but it's good for the on-ice product that Maloney.
Very good. Very good. I mean under his leadership already, three sure, this year didn't work out like they wanted to, but let's put an asterisk next to it with the shortened season.
Yeah.
But three playoff appearances, over 200, I think 250 wins,
mm-hmm.
You know, a winning percentage of over 60. That's
trip to the Western Conference Finals, the deepest playoff
right
run.
And losing to the eventual champions, yep. who are again making a run. But the product has been there under Maloney, so I think I thought this was a must. Now they need to shift their direction to another man whose contract is supposed to end on June 30th, and that's Dave Tippett.
Yeah,
they've got to get Dave Tippett signed up.
Exactly, and there's a lot of jobs across the NHL right now that would
the one that had Coyote fans scared was the Colorado job, mm-hmm. and with Patrick Waugh signing there, that I think was a, you know, kind of a weight off the shoulders of Coyote fans that maybe they can get this done with Tippett, because that's a guy, if that contract ends June 30th, he's going to have 5-6 jobs lined up.
One team to watch, though, and it's mainly because I've gotten a phone call to do a radio hit in Vancouver.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Apparently, Vancouver believes Dave Tippett to the Canucks is a done deal. Now, Vancouver fans...
A done deal?
The doubt. Vancouver media and fans are a little crazy because they're Canadian. And they have unrealistic expectations.
But I wouldn't even call that expectation. That's just dumb. To quote Ron Burgundy, that's just dumb. I can't see that. I mean, the Coyotes are going to do what they can to keep him.
Right.
I mean, just
and
like,
I think Tippett's going to do what he can to stay here. I mean, I know he's been frustrated with the ownership, but he's got a good thing going here.
He's got a damn good thing going here right now. And that's the most frustrating thing about it. I mean, it'd be one thing if, you know, tie it into the NBA scenario. It'd be one thing if the product on the ice here was the equivalent of what's on the hardwood in Sacramento, you know, but it's not. It's the equivalent of a franchise going places, and they got to get it figured out. But you're right. There's something going. Tippett's got something going here. I mean, But at the same time, as I'm saying that, the thoughts going through my head is, how do you tell the man, well, we're going to get this done?
Right.
Because you've been saying that for 4 years.
Yeah, you told him that last year.
And the
you
year
told
before.
Shane Doan that
yes.
last year, and he signed a 3-year deal.
Exactly. So, I mean, how do you look him in the face on June 30th when that contract is expiring and say, we're going to get this done. Just stick with us. How do you tell him that sincerely?
Again.
But I hope he stays, because you are 100% right. There is something, despite this season, they've got something good here.
The Diamondbacks are atop the National League West, about a quarter of a way, just a little over that. But again, I feel like I'm one of the few people here in Phoenix that's just not buying it.
I'm hesitant to, but it's been fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting phenomenal production out of this pitching staff right now.
I mean, they're so up and down that...
But you expected that this year, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I mean, and that's why I think, like, eventually, like, the bottom's going to drop off at some point.
I'll tell you the thing that's got me worried right now is that Ian Kennedy can't get back to 2011.
Yeah, that's a big concern.
If Ian Kennedy can get back to 2011 and be in there with, you know, with the way this pitching... Right now, you're looking at it, instead of saying, oh good, Ian Kennedy's on the hill, every time he comes up, can he keep up with the other guys? I mean, he's the odd man out in this rotation right now. If they can get him back and get more consistent play out of him, I mean, McCarthy's been great finally the last three outings. He's 1-0 with just over a 1 ERA and hasn't given up a run in 17 innings.
Right.
So he's and this podcast is on the 24th, so who knows what he'll do tonight, because he is on the hill tonight. But you know, he's been great. We don't need to talk about our lefty wonder, who's 7-0. So, I mean, if Ian Kennedy can get on par, I mean, I think you'll see more consistent play out of them. They won't be so up and down. They won't have the 5-game winning streak followed by getting swept, you know, losing 3 in a row. But right now, it's encouraging, and it's been fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Goldschmidt's killing the ball, you know, and you got a pitching staff that you don't know. They can go out and pitch a complete game shutout one night. You know, you never know what you're going to get with this team right now, which kind of makes it interesting.
I will say, though, just a completely unrelated and an example of how I am an idiot. My fantasy baseball draft back in March, one of my last picks of the draft was Patrick Corbin. Dropped him before the season started.
I was
going to
say.
Before the season
how quick,
started.
How quickly did he get picked up?
It wasn't until he was like 3 or 4-0.
Really?
So he was still there. Could have got him. But
you know what? Hey, don't hang your head yet, because his sample size is still pretty small.
That's true.
Let's get beyond the All-Star break. I mean, we've seen pitchers in the last few years, you know, have runs similar to this and just fall off the map. So let's get past the All-Star break. You know, get a few starts after that, and then we'll start talking. But yeah, he's been money. He's been lights out. That slider right now.
He's almost unhittable.
I'm not even the most, you know, diehard baseball fan as you guys are. But I'm sitting there watching them throw that slider, and it's nasty.
Yeah,
you're seeing guys just confused.
It's I mean, really, it's Randy Johnson-esque.
I didn't want to say that. That's why I paused a second ago. You saw my face, didn't you?
Right, but it really
it's
is.
Not, it's still. I don't think it is.
I don't
still,
think it's as because, great.
Well, just because of Randy Johnson's deliver and his and his stature
and
on
his demeanor,
yes, exactly.
And all that.
It's not quite. You can't really compare.
But
him to
the
that.
Way it moves, it's. I mean,
it's,
you got people swinging out of their shoes.
Right. It's true. Yeah.
I mean, and so that and that way.
But Randy Johnson, his start to finish point, because of his you know, being 7 feet tall, and it just where it left his arm to where it finished was, I mean, that's right. Mind-boggling. But you're right. It's confusing batters in a similar matter.
Right.
I just can't compare him to Randy yet.
Right.
Again,
no. Yeah,
again.
No. He's getting praise from Randy on Twitter, though.
8 starts and 7-0.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Eight.
We need a lot larger.
Come on. Let's get past 15. All right. And then we'll talk. And we'll talk about it.
Moving on to the NBA playoffs. Again, this is the Control Room, Rich Gray alongside Sean Crespin. And we've had some rather interesting games so far.
Duncan doubled out to Parker. Parker for three. Tony Parker doing it all for the San Antonio Spurs. Timeout Memphis. Their 9th three-pointer of the game. And Parker has 14 points and 16 assists.
West plays the inbound. Battier gets it in. Here's
James on the draw for the win. What a long time. LeBron James taking to the rim. And Miami coming away with a 1-point overtime victory.
Remember when LeBron James wasn't clutch?
I'm not giving him that one, Rich.
I know.
I'm not giving him that one. I mean, the man turned around and went, and laid it in.
Right.
I mean, that was horrible. But you're right. I mean, and we've talked about this in past podcasts that, you know, he's a completely different guy. And to his credit, he did do what everybody... Remember a couple of years ago, the only thing anybody wanted to say about LeBron James in the playoffs is just take the damn ball to the hole.
Yep.
You're settling for the outside jump shots. That's why you can't hit a game winner. Well, he's been doing it. You know, he's been doing it a couple times now this season. That one, we don't need to go. It's been beaten to death
right.
on the coaching decisions and the overplayed on the, you know, on LeBron. But yeah, it's been a fun playoffs. That's for sure. The way you led into that that little clip there, San Antonio. Almost gave one away the other night
mm-hmm.
to Memphis.
Now, I wanted to ask you, since you're a big basketball guy,
yeah.
do you think the Spurs are going to lose this series? Is there a little hesitation because of last year? Because I know a lot of people want to just, they're up 2-0, Memphis can't recover. But I don't know.
When I was watching game two, and they gave up the 17-2 run, and the 15-point deficit, or lead, just disintegrated in the fourth quarter. Had Memphis won that game, I would say I do think they're going to lose this series. However, being up 2-0, and it's 94% that teams win a series in the Western Conference Finals, I think both conference finals, when they're up 2-0. And I sound like Stephen A. Smith right now, the way I'm talking for some reason. But anyway, I can't go against them at that point. Because I believe they relaxed a little bit in game. And I think Memphis had to get at least one game in San Antonio, and they didn't. They had their chance, and they didn't. So I don't see them losing this series at this point, unless they lose Parker. You know, he had the MRI. Let's see how he responds in game three. If he's the same guy, then, yeah, San Antonio's going to get this series. And LeBron will have his redemption from mm-hmm. being swept in Cleveland to the Spurs. I think if you had to ask me right now, I would say the Heat beat the Spurs in the NBA championship in six games.
If you go back to the start of the season, that's what I said.
Spurs
so
and
I
Heat.
Said Heat over.
I was
over
wondering
the Spurs.
Why the smile went
right,
on your face
exactly.
as soon as I started
this
talking about it.
This is my example of me being smart. I had to make up for the whole Patrick Corbin yeah. thing.
But LeBron gets his gets his redemption, because that series, I want to say that was 09. Was it 09 or 08? When they lost to the
I think it was a little bit before that maybe
07?
Like 07
okay,
somewhere around
there
yeah.
late
2000
yes when the Spurs that wasn't even a series when they beat Cleveland in the NBA Finals 4-0 just I mean it wasn't even a none of the, not all four games were just boring I mean yeah. it was just
you could tell like LeBron was just taxed of carrying the Cavs
entire
that
team
far.
Right so now it's just a completely different LeBron a completely different situation yeah I think Heat Spurs NBA Finals Heat in six.
What happens, though, if it is somehow, some way, Grizzlies-Pacers?
I would love it. But see, I'm a big-time NBA guy.
Right.
I would love to see that. New blood, you know, in the finals, finally. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, the ratings will be terrible.
No, absolutely.
It'll be like last year's World Series, you know. It'll be terrible. Yeah. But I would enjoy it.
I mean, Brett was making the joke last few weeks that when the Pacers were leading up to this series, he didn't believe the games were actually being played because all their games were on NBA.TV.
Right.
And he just assumed that someone was doing an NBA 2K13
simulation. Yeah.
So that was his running joke for the past couple of weeks.
I mean, I would like to see a Zach Randolph, you know, get to see somebody new in the NBA Finals. But it's not going to happen.
No,
it's not. The Spurs are. I mean, the Spurs are handling Memphis. Memphis's defense is still they're which is what they had to rely on coming into the series. It's okay. I mean, they're not playing horrible. They just can't score.
No, and that's the difference between this year
no offense.
And last year. I mean, last year you had Durant and Westbrook and Harden took over that series when you know the Spurs were focusing on Durant and Westbrook,
right.
And you know Memphis doesn't really have that option.
No,
they really don't have two options.
No, they don't, and that's the problem. They're not going to be able to keep up with the Spurs, and you had your chance to make it a 5-game series, you missed out, and I think they that was the series. I think the Spurs win game three. Memphis might extend it in game four. Spurs end it in game five.
Do you think, I know we're way, 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 way ahead of ourselves. I mean,
right.
Who knows, the Pacers could win tonight as we're recording against Miami. But, you know, LeBron said not one, not two, not three, not four.
I think that depends on Dwayne Wade and if they can keep the whole core together. Otherwise, I do see LeBron winding up back in Cleveland someday. But I think that really weighs heavily on if they can keep that core. If Dwayne Wade sticks around for another few years and stays healthy, then yeah, I mean I could see three, maybe four, but not more than that.
Yeah, not more than that.
Yeah, that's done at that point. I mean, Well, I was going to say sometimes you run out of role players, but the Spurs don't ever seem to run out of role players. But
any guy who's in his late 30s
is going to go right there.
Yep. Yeah. You want to win a ring, contribute, come off the bench.
Go to Miami.
Yep, go to Miami.
But, just keeping that big three together is going to be extremely rough. And I see them making this run. Maybe they'll make another one next year. And the following year, I believe that'll be – so 2015, I think that'll probably be the end of that experiment. But – you know, it's been fun to watch as a basketball fan. I wanted to see how this whole super team worked out. I hope it doesn't become a trend. But it has been fun to watch that team. Yeah.
I mean, three losses in what, their last 50 games?
Yeah,
almost?
It's 40 something and three. Yeah, 40. I think it's 46. That's sick.
Stupid.
That's ridiculous. That's 98 Bulls.
Yeah.
Territory.
Absolutely.
That you're talking about.
The other playoffs going on in the Stanley Cup playoffs have also been very entertaining.
Another faceoff won by Stepan. The weight comes Dash with Kreider. Dash works in, centers it, score! Chris Kreider, overtime winner! And the Rangers live to fight another day!
The centering pass, again, back to the line to Koliakovo the other way. The drive, score! Kimball fires the goal, and Detroit takes the lead, 1-0. He's only had one shot in the game, he's tried six. It'll come back to Scuderi. Kyle Clifford, traffic loop, scores!
Now, I do have to say, whenever I pull the sound clips for hockey, I always get the Canadian broadcasts because I think they're so much better. I don't know if there's a difference. I don't know if that's just me being the diehard hockey fan that I am and just assume everything hockey related is better in Canada.
But you're a Red Wings fan.
I know I'm a Red Wings fan. I know. But, you know, hockey, birthplace.
Yeah, I get it.
It's Canada.
I get it. That's like Lambeau Field is,
right, exactly.
You know, holy territory. But
speaking of the Red Wings, I'm still shocked they're up 3-1.
You thought, I'm going to go back, rewind to right before the playoffs started and how worried you were.
Yeah.
And you were getting pissed off saying if they miss the playoffs this year and their streak is snapped, I'm going to blame the whole thing on the NHL and I may never watch an NHL game again.
There's something similar to that probably.
I don't think I was paraphrasing there. I'm pretty sure that was exactly what you said. But you're right. They're playing fantastic. 3-1. I'm about to put the hammer down on the Hawks.
And not only that, I mean, when it was becoming clear that the Wings were actually probably going to get in, I wanted the Ducks. I wanted nothing to do with the Blackhawks in the first round.
Well, how could you? I mean, with the way the regular season went with the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was they were unbeatable at the start of the year. And, you know, I remember on this very podcast, you and Brett Harmon, because you guys teach me about hockey. Mm-hmm. And I'm the basketball and the football guy. You were saying if the Blackhawks don't win it this year, it's a disgrace. Because of how they started the year. Do you still feel that way?
I still do. I still do. And at the same time, though, I mean, Brett and I have gone back and forth about how, you know, we really didn't believe that it was going to happen, though. Because of it's hard to keep that up through an entire season. Even in a short season, it's kind of hard to keep when you get off to a hot start and kind of recapture that. And you're seeing this is the first three-game losing streak all year for the Blackhawks. First time they've been shut out all season.
That's the incredible stat.
For the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
So they're facing adversity for the first time, and they don't know how to respond to it.
I mean, losing, not having a three-game losing streak in a shortened season, I mean, I can see that because it's a shortened season. But to not be shut out all year long, that's the impressive stat right there. So, I mean, in the limited hockey playoffs that I've watched, okay, it always seems to be the team that just gets hot at the right time. And this could be your Red Wings
Not only that, going as a Red Wings fan for years, I mean, the Red Wings entering, you know, their 22 consecutive seasons in the playoffs. This is the lowest seed they've ever been, a 7 seed during that entire round. They've always been within the top four, just a given. Because of all the talent they've had. And they've always, for the most part, except for the years that they've gone to the cup final or won a cup, been knocked off by one of those scrappy teams that got hot with a hot goaltender.
Like the Kings last year.
Exactly. So it feels like almost like a redemption thing that the Red Wings are that team.
You're now doing it to the Hawks. Speaking of those Kings, though. Maybe that was not a fluke last year.
You know, and Brett and I have talked also the last few weeks. I've been trying to tell people just kind of subtly not to sleep on the Kings, because for the first few weeks of the playoffs, it was all Penguins talk, all Blackhawks talk.
Right.
And with the way that they played going into this round, understandable.
Sure.
And now people focusing on the Boston Bruins because what they're doing in the New York Rangers. And they're focusing on the Red Wings, what they're doing to the Blackhawks, and the Pens are dominant. And I still think people are sleeping on the Kings because they look exactly like the team that won the Cup last year.
No, they really do. They really do. And they're on the verge of being a series away from the Cup again. I mean, mm-hmm. they're up 3-2 on the Sharks right now. And, you know, coming into, obviously here we are a little biased, being Coyotes, you know, country that, you know, the hell with the Kings. But you're right. It's you can't ignore it at this point. Everybody wanted to call last season a fluke. Eighth seed coming in, making the run they did. But you can't now at this point.
No.
Let me ask you this, hockey guy. It's Crosby. How much is he adding to his legacy with this playoff run right now? If he finishes this off.
If he finishes it off, I think it'd be a beginning of a, you know, I would say very similar to Mario Lemieux. And obviously, the you know, Lemieux owns the Penguins. They have the tie.
Right.
But it's very, because I don't know if Pittsburgh's going to be one of those teams that can rattle off a couple cups in a row, and especially with how the parity in the NHL is now.
Right.
I mean, we haven't had the NHL hasn't had a back-to-back winner since 97-98, the Red Wings. Having that trade that they made to get Jerome Ginla to add another option to take some kind of pressure off Crosby when he came back has really helped the Penguins, because not all the pressure's on Crosby to win. Because if he has an off night, other guys can kind of pick him up and they can still win games. But when he is on, like when he scored a hat trick a couple nights ago, the Penguins are unbeatable if that happens.
Yeah, and they look like it right now. It's the 24th when we were recording this, but when I walked in, they'd already scored a goal with 2 minutes into the game, I believe.
So I'm just going to imagine that they have punched their ticket and they're going to wait on the Bruins-Rangers series in the Eastern Conference Final.
Who do you think gives them a better fight? Bruins?
I think it is Boston.
Yeah.
They have the better defense, I think. And Zdeno Chara, I think, could cause some problems for Pittsburgh, at least defensively. But it all comes down to the goaltending, because the goaltending for both teams have been good. But I don't think they've really been tested as much. You know, the Penguins made the switch to Vokoun early in the round. That's paid off so far. Tucker Rask has been good, but you saw the little gaff he made against the Rangers last night.
Yeah.
So if you run into a team that does have, you know, scoring power, you need your goaltender to up his game, and sort of kind of what is happening in the Detroit-Chicago series. A lot of people didn't think the Red Wings defense would be able to slow down the Blackhawks' offensive power, and what's happened is Jimmy Howard has bailed out his defense with some phenomenal saves all series long. And if that could happen for Boston, I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh gets upset, but at the same time, I'm not really expecting it.
Well, I wish you luck, my friend, because yes. I know between, you know, next week might be interesting on the podcast in here.
Yeah.
Because Brett Harmon, the Pittsburgh guy, and Rich Gray, the Red Wings guy.
Well, not only
maybe
that.
Maybe clashing heads a little bit next week.
Yeah, not only that, I mean, we're going to be just kind of a programming note. If you're familiar with where we are at NBC Sports Radio, AM 1060, we'll be filling in on the air all next week.
That is true.
So you'll be stopping by.
Yeah, absolutely,
hopefully,
I will be.
That.
At least one day.
But again, it'll be me and Brett for most of the week. So that could also
be very interesting.
I
want to stay away from the hockey talk next week.
Yeah. We might.
You may have to.
Well, I will say one little hint that we will give away. If the Wings do close out this series, I guarantee you Craig Morgan, because he's a good man of his word, will make an appearance, because we have a friendly little wager.
Oh, going. Do you?
Yes, we do. And I was kind of regretting making that bet, but now I'm kind
feeling
of,
pretty good about
I'm
yourself, aren't you?
I'm actually
a little sly smile on his face for you out there in Radio Land.
A little lunch bet, and so now I'm actually kind of eyeing, like, oh, what would I want for
Donovan Steakhouse?
Yeah,
maybe
that might be good. Before we get out of here, though, a couple headlines throughout the NFL in a prominent name hanging up his cleats.
Who's that? Man of 18 on the first down reception, and once more to the end, once more it's intercepted. Oh,
looking for the end zone. Seventh interception return for a touchdown by the Bears this year.
That Bears defense last year.
That was crazy.
Unbelievable. Sorry.
But Brian Urlacher calling it a career mainly because he couldn't find a team that would want to sign him, but...
There were a few. But just... most of them willing to give him what the Bears were offering him. And that's the problem here. And I feel bad for Urlacher a little bit because of the way it went down with the Bears. And from what I understand, as free agency opened up, they told him they were going to work with him. They were going to offer him a deal, and they were going to work with him. They just kept telling him that. And as they kept telling him that, free agency went on and on. People were being signed, positions being filled, and then the Bears come with not a negotiation, but an ultimatum. $2 million for 1 year. That's it.
Yep.
Which, to be honest, right now, that's what I believe he's worth.
Right.
But to not even work with him, tell him, we'll work with you, and then to come with an ultimatum, meanwhile, other teams have already made signings. He's missed out on the first couple weeks of free agency. I thought they did him wrong a little bit there. So I don't blame him for going out and testing the market a little bit. Problem is, the market wasn't what Brian Urlacher thought the market was going to be. It was exactly what the Bears were offering. And the Bears, I believe, were right on with that. I don't think he's worth more than $2 million.
And I am glad that he was, smart enough to realize that it was, I had a great career. I spent my entire career with the Chicago Bears.
13 years.
It ended sour, yes, but 5 years from now, when I'm getting inducted into the Hall of Fame,
if Brett Favre and the Packers can rekindle, I think the Bears and Urlacher can rekindle.
Exactly, but it would be weird to see him running around in like a Vikings.
I'd be wrong
or a
in
Lions.
That purple.
Ugh.
Well, the fact that he was talking about the Vikings would just been ugly.
Ugh.
And I know Urlacher said he would have played for the Cowboys. That also would have been weird. It'd have been really, really weird. It's like a Ray Lewis. Could you have ever seen Ray Lewis in a different uniform?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
And, humble brag on my part and kind of our part. I mean, we're fortunate enough to where we have Donovan McNabb broadcasting his show in our studios every day. So I was actually kind of talking to him. He was out here eating lunch a few days ago, and we were kind of, just chatting. And I asked him his thoughts on Urlacher, because he was an Eagle, and he had a bitter split with the Eagles and ended up going to the Redskins, and it didn't work out, and it was painful
to
watch.
Vikings.
Yeah, and... So it you can see, Donovan felt like he still had something to prove. And when you have that, it's kind of hard to hang him up. But I think Urlacher feels like he doesn't really have that much more to prove. And I think a lot of it also has to do with the positions. Quarterback, your legacy is based off of Super Bowl wins.
We were talking with Charles Davis from NFL Network, and he made a good point. He was saying how he never made it to the league, but played college football. And when you make the decision to walk away, it's a hard decision. But you don't really realize how hard it is until the games start happening.
Mm.
Right now, Urlacher's not having to, he doesn't have to go to training camp, which we all know that all veterans hate.
No OTAs.
Right now, it's not that terrible of a decision. But when the Bears line up and Urlacher sees somebody else at middle linebacker, making the calls on the Bears defense when Urlacher, and it's not one of his teammates, it's just a guy that's in Urlacher's spot making the calls. He's got the green dot on the back of his helmet. He's the one communicating with the defensive coordinator, not Urlacher. We'll see if it hits him then. I thought Charles Davis, when he said that on our show, it was pretty spot on. We'll see what happens. And that's kind of, what happened to Brett Favre, I think, and why we kept getting the whole, that whole fiasco for 7 years, it seemed like. but we'll see if it's as easy to walk away as Urlacher's making it seem right now. I mean, he's going on to the Dan Patrick shows and all that, saying there's no amount of money that's going to make me come back. But we'll see. We'll see about it. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens when the first team has an injury to a linebacker, a significant player on their defense, and when he's going to get a phone call this year.
Yeah.
He's going to get one.
That's true.
I'll guarantee it. So let's see how easy it is for him to walk away once we start hitting in September. Then we'll see what happens.
Actually, I haven't had a chance to really kind of ask you this question. I mean, what are you big Raiders fan?
I know. The least here, my friend.
I know.
Come on.
And
give me some credit.
It's been a few rough years.
A few?
Yeah.
A few?
A few rough decades.
Rich, 2003
maybe?
Was 10 years ago, my
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, I know.
We've had a couple of 8-8 seasons. Fired the head coach after each one. Don't know why.
What do you expect for Carson Palmer with the Arizona Cardinals after watching him?
I expect Carson Palmer. Oh, fantasy football players, pick up Jeff King. Look, seriously. At your tight end. If you're in a big league, pick up Jeff King. Carson Palmer, he loves his tight ends. Yeah, he didn't in Cincinnati. He took an unknown guy by the name of Meyer last year and almost brought him up to the top of the league in touchdowns for tight ends. So he loves his tight ends. But I expect decent things out of Carson Palmer. I really do. I think the Cardinals have improved themselves quite a bit this season. I don't think they're getting the credit they deserve. The Washington at middle linebacker scenario, perfect spot for Urlacher. the Washington spot, you know, the fact that he's probably going to miss at least half the season, 4 guaranteed, probably a little bit more depending on what goes on with the lawsuit. That's going to really hurt. But I think the Cardinals have really improved themselves. Out of Carson Palmer, I think you're going to see really good things and a few that make you scratch your head. He's always thrown the really stupid interceptions. Really stupid. There's going to be one a game. There'll be. Trust me, Cardinal fans. Mark this down. Sean Crespin, May 24th. He told you there's going to be a play a game where Carson Palmer makes you scratch your friggin' head.
That's an upgrade, though.
That's what I was going to say. But it's worse. It's worse than the Kevin Cobb and all the crap that we've been, you know, that makes you smack your forehead the last couple of years because you almost expected it. Carson Palmer's going to put together 4 fantastic drives and then just do something so stupid, a la Jake Plummer. That makes you just think, what in the hell? But I do think it's a fantastic improvement at the quarterback spot. I'll tell you the biggest upgrade is the fact that they're coming into camp and they know who their quarterback is.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how important that is. They're coming into camp and Larry Fitzgerald knows who's going to be throwing him the ball. You know, Mendenhall knows who's going to be handing him the ball. That's another player, I think, if he can work out. The signing of Mendenhall at running back, if they can get anything out of him, that's an upgrade from last season with the injury problems they had at tailback last year. I think the Cardinals are improved. The problem is in the NFC West, They're not as good as the 49ers, they're not as good as Seattle, and they're right on par with the Rams.
I don't even know if they're on par with the Rams.
I think they are. They're improved. This Cardinal team is more improved than people think. And the crappy thing is they've improved, but they are nowhere near the Niners in Seattle. They'll split with the Rams.
Vegas had the over-under at
5.5.
5.5.
5.5. And I struggled with that one. And I agree. And again, it's because of the improvements that they've made. After I saw that this week, I jumped on the schedule, looked real quick. They've got Houston. They've got games in New Orleans.
They've got Atlanta.
Their schedule is rough.
And Colts.
Running straight down. Oh, come on, Colts guy.
Andrew Luck, come on.
Yeah, a lot of luck. I want to see what happens this year.
They're going to step back.
Yes.
They're better than the Cardinals.
Let's find out. Let's see if this offensive line can stay healthy. The Cardinals had 5 different players start at center last year.
Yeah.
5. If you rotate 5 different players to any position on the offensive line, it's going to be a bad season, let alone your center. Let's see if this team can stay healthy on the offensive line. That's going to be a major improvement. Carson Palmer coming in, giving any kind of consistent play at quarterback, is going to be a major improvement. If Floyd at the other wide receiver spot opposite Larry Fitzgerald can become anything, improvement in the offense. The Washington thing is going to be the backbreaker,
yeah,
I think, for the Cardinals. Losing that Pro Bowl-type linebacker who led your team in tackles last year is going to be your Achilles heel for the Cardinals this year. But I honestly believe the improvements are there, and that's why I couldn't pick over or under 5.5, because when I looked at the schedule, I said 4. 4 wins for the Cardinals. But you don't know, and Bruce Arians is another wild card. I mean, Carson Palmer has never played with a coach that is proven with quarterbacks before. Mm-hmm. So let's see what Bruce can do with Carson, and let's see what happens with this team. But I think 5.5 is right about right.
Yeah, I do too. And I initially say under as well, but I think the record for the Cardinals is going to be very deceiving. Because I think they could be one of those teams that's in almost every single ball game, but just doesn't have make enough plays, or they make that bad
the bonehead interception
play that
or the
costs
fumble
them a game, right, or something like that. But I also could see them benefiting from that, because they say they go 4-12, they're in the top five at the draft again, they get another quality player, and now all of a sudden they could be that team that, you know, every year the turnover in the NFL, there's always that one team, they're like, where did they come from?
Look at the Colts last year.
Yeah.
Look at Seattle. I mean, let's be honest, look at Seattle. Seattle, the last couple of years, you know, they've been on the rise, but then last they get that final piece in Russell, and bam!
Right there they are.
Done. You know what I mean? And so you never know in the NFL. But I'm really curious. I'm really anxious to see what Coach Arians can do with Carson Palmer and this offense. I know this week he voiced his opinion saying that he's not happy with the progression of the Cardinals offense thus far. You know, and that kind of worries me a little bit, but we're in OTAs.
Yeah.
Right now we really don't know. But I'm curious to see. I don't think this team is as bad as people make it out to be. But when you look at that schedule, the Cardinals have a tough draw this year. They really do.
They do. And again, like you said, I think the Washington thing is eventually...
That is your Achilles heel.
Because if you want to make some waves in the NFL, you got to do it early.
Yep.
And when you don't have your best player on defense out there, you're already in a hole.
Well, last year they started off early. Fantastic. And then they followed it up with
a
10-game losing streak.
That would be the example.
Exception
not
to the rule.
Yeah, exactly.
You lost him for the first four. And let's see what happens in this trial. That he, you know, with the domestic dispute and trespassing that he's being accused of, but he said not guilty in court this week, but we'll find out what happens. I think the team still has to do a team suspension, don't you? Don't you have to do one of those team suspensions regardless?
So.
Well, you know, and now you're looking at 6 to 8 games.
And again, it might not even come to that. I mean, Roger Goodell and his history, he might just suspend him because.
Yeah.
Who cares what happens with the court?
And
it's been an embarrassment for the league. Suspend him.
And now you're looking at 8 games. You just missed half the season.
Yeah,
and he's probably done here as a Cardinal, by the way.
That's probably true. That is probably true. Well, that's been another episode of The Control Room. Sean, thanks.
It's good to be back.
I know. Good to be back. Good to have you back.
Yeah, sometimes I get on rants and tangents. I apologize.
That's all right, though. That's all right. It makes for a more interesting...
You know, I get going sometimes. And then you brought up my Raiders. You know? Oh, and by the way, real quick, can I get this in? Charles Woodson coming back. Now, people, before you say, oh, typical Raider fan, I'm a realist. I get he's not going to make any difference. Okay, none at all. However, the nostalgia factor, my boy Charles is back, number 24. Attaboy. I'm stoked about that.
I saw a stat of the records of the Raiders and the Packers since that.
He left and went there.
Oof.
Yeah. Can we not talk about that, dude?
Yeah, we can.
Seriously?
Sorry.
I mean, he's not gonna make any difference on this secondary.
You brought it up, though.
I know. I'm just saying. You know, it's going to be cool to have him next to our young corner we just drafted, DJ. I know I get it. But DJ Hayden, the young corner, and the guy, you know, is a good mentor, and it's nostalgic. Yeah, Charles back, baby. Charles in charge.
I think really, though, the benefit of Al Davis dying is going to be good for the franchise.
It's so horrible to say, but
I know.
So right.
I know.
And there's a light at the end of the tunnel, finally.
And here's the thing, though. Mark it down right here. That's going to be the Cowboys' problem until Jerry Jones dies.
Jerry is the new Al Davis.
He is.
And you know what? You know, it's fun looking at it from the outside. Because I used to stick up for Al Davis all the time. Oh, the man's a legend. He did so much for the NFL. You can't just kick him out of his own franchise. And dude, watching it from the outside looking in over at Jerry World. Oh, man.
I mean, I know he's got the, you know, like you said, Jerry World, the Giant Stadium, and that's great. But again, like, his presence there will always...
Put it this way. How many other owners do you see going on SportsCenter telling you who's going to be calling the plays for their offense? Which one? Oh, I'm sorry. Just one of them. It'd be Jerry Jones.
Right. Al Davis before that.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sorry, Cowboy fans, but you're in for a long next 20 years. If he lasts that long. Oh, that's terrible. I can't say that.
Anyway, we'll wrap up the podcast
on
that one.
We'll
be getting some emails probably on that one.
Send them to Rich.
Yeah, send them to me. Send them my way. For Sean Crespin, for Brett Harmon, who's MIA this week, I'm Rich Gray. This has been another episode of The Control Room on FanSideRadio.com.